Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
My name is Deacon Taylor. I am the National Chair for the Veterans Party of America. Our oath is to the Constitution and to the constitutional principles of our nation.
Helping veterans to help veterans.
And I try to make these no more than 30 minutes. Doesn't matter to me. A person is a person. Those are things that are really concerning, and I think they should be concerning to the average American public. Thank you all for tuning in.
Fireside Chat. And just for the record, Deacon is a given name, not a title. And good evening, Facebook world. So we'll wait for a couple minutes as everybody kind of filters in here, as we get this thing kick-started. First and foremost, for those of you just tuning in, my name is Deacon Taylor. I am the National Chair for the Veterans Party of America. And at this moment in time, we have somewhere around 60,000 people that are interacting with us via social media. And in that adventure that we started about 3 years ago, we keep coming back to this idea. What?
Man Bun's watching.
Oh, Man Bun's watching?
Yes.
Hi, Man Bun. Hi, Chappy. Hey, thanks for all your help, brother. I appreciate you helping me get this kind of stuff set up. But in our adventure of pulling this all together, it's been recommended over and over again that I start doing something more along the lines of a old fireside chat. So
Brian says hi.
What this video and what this is all about from my perspective is back in the olden days when most families had a radio receiver in their home, and that was how the vast majority of knowledge and information and everything was disseminated aside from newspapers, there was a concept of the fireside chat. And so hoping to replicate that idea so we can start having a discussion about what in general is going on in the country and as American citizens, what that means to us, and then getting your feedback and your input as to what we need to be focusing on moving forward. So, joined here tonight by my fellow veteran, Ian, is actually holding the camera for me, and we're in his studio, and of course you can see Duke here hanging out with me. But we're here tonight for you, and so hopefully we'll get some questions along the way. Prior to this, I actually was sent a few questions, so I'm going to kind of explain the questions that I've been receiving and then give you my answer and look for some additional feedback that would add to the conversation. So the biggest question that I get asked over and over and over again with this most recent election is about the Electoral College. And so I'll jump into that. Generally, the questions are, why do we need an Electoral College? Isn't it really archaic? Doesn't it need to go away? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So my answer is, the short version is this. The Electoral College is a component within the Constitution. And so any attempts to get rid of the Electoral College have to start with somebody submitting an amendment. Anybody that's jawing off about how the Electoral College needs to be gone or needs to be modified or otherwise, unless they're actively putting forth an amendment, it's really kind of pointless at the federal level. Changes to the Electoral College system would happen at the state level, and so I'll go into that in a little bit more detail in a minute. But the reason why the Electoral College is so vital, the reason why our founders included it in our Constitution as a fundamental part of our constitutional republic. When the country was founded, there were 13 colonies that grew into nation states. Those 13 states voluntarily joined the United States. And so as nation states, if you think about the countries, the nation states as more like countries in Europe and how the EU is functioning, that's much more of how our founders had envisioned the United States being a collaborative of nation states. So a small state like Rhode Island, when up against a more populated state at that time of, say, Massachusetts, Rhode Island would never stand a chance of any of their policies, any of their views, any of their wishes ever being heard, because Massachusetts would have a lot more of a popular vote. So in order to level the playing field, they based it on representation at the national level. So the nation states elect the president. The democratic elections that happen within each state are to determine which candidate most closely represents the population of that state. So we fast forward to today, and you have a state like Texas with, I think it's 28 electoral votes. You have a state like California with 55 electoral votes. I forget the exact numbers because, frankly, it's pretty irrelevant to the conversation. But the idea is that these states have more people, so therefore they have a more weighted average within the Electoral College. But because of the Electoral College, it forces the candidates to build a coalition amongst the states. So you can't have the entire middle part of the country being forced into a view based on what the state like California or a state like Texas wants done. It's really about forcing the candidates to go out there and consider the opinions of the more rural communities. If anything, from my perspective, the different individual states should really consider having some form of an electoral college within their counties at the state level for their governors. Because I can't tell you a single state that I have visited, from California with their LA area and San Francisco, to Colorado with Denver, to Chicago and Illinois, to New York City and New York, all of these major population centers, the rest of the state tends to feel like they have no voice in the process, because that population center just overrules everything that they want done. And whether it's real or not, that is the feeling that most people in the rural communities have around this country as the population continues to consolidate into these very high-dense urban areas. So, as a constitutional republic, it's very important that everybody has a voice in our government, and that's what the Electoral College is all about. So, with that, Ian, do we have any questions popping in?
Yeah, we currently have... We're at 5 viewers.
Okay.
So for those who are watching this channel, this is definitely a question and answer as well. This is not just a talking head type presentation. So Deacon's putting himself out there at y'all's whim, at y'all's mercy, basically. So ask what you want to know, whatever. Just ask the guy, because he'll tell you straight up, no sugar, straight vinegar. Just ask it, and you'll know. Plain and simple. So, Deacon, what, other than people going to your page, going to your personal, into your the Veterans Party of America page, cliff note, who is Deacon?
Who is Deacon? Ooh, that's an open-ended question.
Where did you grow, siblings,
okay,
family?
So, basic general background of myself. And just for the record, Deacon is a given name, not a title. Like, a lot of people, for some reason, assume that I'm a pastor or a priest or whatever because of my name. But it is not. It's actually a given name. And I grew up in northern Wyoming. I was raised on a small rural ranch in northern Wyoming, about halfway between Basin and Grable. And nobody will ever know where that is unless you're from the Wyoming area or somewhere along the way traveled through it. It's about an hour and a half east of Yellowstone in the Bighorn Mountains. And so grew up in a very rural community, but had the luxury of an incredibly in-depth and really dynamic education.
So question from Ryan is, quick action question is, what are your thoughts on Standing Rock and the veterans who are mobilizing individually to get involved?
Okay, so in regards to the Standing Rock Reservation and the water protectors that are there right now, I would say this. I will speak on my own behalf. I will not speak on behalf of the Veterans Party in regards to that particular ongoing thing that or ongoing conflict that is that has been brewing. With regards to the veterans that are going out there, I have made it very clear that I am extremely supportive of what the water protectors and the veterans involved are doing. I've researched that subject in depth, and I've taken the time to question my own bias because I grew up around some reservations. But I think that any time you are seeing a group of people be oppressed and their voice being overrun by any other majority, whether it be a federal agency or a corporation, when you see a group of citizens, especially within our own country, being forced to do things that they don't agree with, that is a point in time where, as a veteran, I'm really sad that I can't be there right now. Unfortunately, there's a lot of circumstances that are preventing me from going there. But I absolutely support the folks at Standing Rock.
So with the veterans being the individual veterans who will probably join up as a group there, because our oath never ends. The oath that we all took, brothers and sisters, that we all took, never ends at all. Would they be just in defending a constitutional right of an individual who's there by appropriate or less than appropriate means? What is your view on that?
Well, my view is violence begets violence. So, yes, our oath is absolute, and our oath does not end. And for the civilians that watch this and that are watching this, our oath is to the Constitution and to the constitutional principles of our nation. Our oath is not to whoever is acting as president once we are discharged from the military. Our oath is, and the reason why I signed up as a veteran was because of my belief in our constitutional rights. So what I would encourage and what I continue to encourage anyone going to Standing Rock to do is to peacefully protest. It's a right that we have within our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And so any peaceful protest that happens there, I am in 100% support of. If somebody decides to be ignorant and start being violent and actually start to create conflict that doesn't need to be that type of a conflict, I will not support that. But up into protesting on public lands, using your First Amendment rights, I absolutely support 100%.
More specifically, it's not the people who are there protesting. It is the uniformed individuals, either the law enforcement officials or the contractors, who are working together cohesively to pepper ball, spray, water hose in freezing temperature weather, and basically stop and prevent humanitarian aid from easily making its way to these individuals who are stopping the progress of that. If those uniformed individuals are violating constitutional rights, should the veterans, I shouldn't say should, would it be, do you think it would be publicly accepted if the veteran veterans personnel on boots on the ground were to intervene and take action?
No, I don't, because in our current government, so let me kind of walk through the scenarios that are playing out. Number one, the corporation that is putting in the pipeline has been using their financial controls and their lobbying efforts to make sure that their pipeline is passed and that their pipeline is approved. So that in and of itself is wrong. You are not supposed to use eminent domain and the congressional actions for personal gain. That is absolutely a violation of the way our government was supposed to be founded. The law enforcement agencies that are having to react to the protesters based on the demands of their community, they're really in a hard position because there have been protesters going on to private land, and that is not okay. And so I'm very clear about protesters on public land, not private land. So, like right now, the real battle is over if they can go up onto a hilltop that's owned by the Army Corps of Engineers. That is public land. The protesters should not be prevented from going there. But as far as veterans going out there to build a collective that they're going to all of a sudden like rise up and go head to head with the law enforcement, no, that is absolutely wrong. You have no authority. You have no legal authority to do that. And all you're going to do if you start to create a conflict, physical altercation conflict, between the veterans and the protesters and the law enforcement agencies and the government officials, you are feeding right into exactly what these power addicts want. They want violence. They want this thing to turn into a massive conflict because then they can justify the inhumane use of water cannons in sub-freezing temperatures. They can justify their use of the explosive devices, the flashbangs, and all of this stuff that they've been using. And there's a lot of other things that they can do with that. And knowing that the contracting community, that, former Blackwater types, everybody remembers all of the negative stuff that Eric Prince and his guys did overseas. A lot of those same people are organizing new groups called Tiger Swan and all these others, and they're actually trying to instigate problems where there aren't any.
So with that messy dynamic at Standing Rock that's going on,
mm-hmm.
and not a lot of corrective actions going on, what would be the benefit of the population of the U.S. realizing that there's not just two parties,
mm-hmm.
there's a plethora of parties,
mm-hmm.
and the one that you speak for is VPA. Can you explain, again, what does VPA, in its full name, what does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
How can a layman get to understand your party better, understand y'all's positions,
mm-hmm.
and how can they become involved in this four-year span for 2020?
Well, and so, very great question. Lots of different ways I can go with that, but let me be very, very specific. I am Deacon Taylor, and as an individual, I support the water protectors and everyone that is going there to support them. That is me personally. That is my personal views. That does not represent anything to do with the Veterans Party of America. So I got to make sure that's very clear, because even though I'm the national chair, I'm still an individual, and I still have my own views and opinions, but I am working as the national chair. So the reason why I think it's important for people to be involved in the political process between the elections is because what we found in the last 3 years with the Veterans Party, and specifically during the Keniston and my campaign, as we were trying to get Chris Keniston to become the next president, we figured out very quickly that between ballot access laws, gerrymandered districts, and several other layers of complexity, that in order for there to be a real competition in any kind of a political office, the people have to be involved. It is not an ability for anybody that's trying to run independent or a small party to get on the ballot in all 50 states without the citizens actually going out and collecting signatures and doing the grassroots effort that it takes to get there. So to kind of blur the lines a little bit of what's going on at Standing Rock and what we're trying to accomplish in the Veterans Party of America is, if you don't like what's happening in Standing Rock, then you have to find a political group that understands that dynamic and can help magnify your voice as an individual. Because the way our government currently is operating, there are two voices in our government. And one is Republican and one is Democrat. And unfortunately, it's become abundantly clear to most of us that they are more often than not singing from the same hymnal of whatever corporations are buying their loyalty. And that's not okay. So,
because Facebook is Facebook, and yeah, there's buttons you can click on pages. Some people, even on my own page, I don't click my own buttons. What is the long name of the Veterans Party of America's website? What is the actual name?
Yeah, so the website address is www.veterans, with an S, no apostrophe, veteranspartyofamerica.org. And for folks that don't know about us, the Veterans Party of America was started about 3 years ago by veterans. However, it is for all Americans. So right now, if I had to guess, based on the last data that I saw, about half of our people are veterans, and about half of our people are civilians. So it really is a centrist-based party that focuses on solutions for all Americans, not just veteran-specific issues. And you don't have to be a veteran to be a part of the party. So that's important for folks to understand.
So during this past 2016 election that just came and went, were there any veteran or VPA representatives who ran in the non-presidential race, but for Senate, for Congress? Were there anyone that actually made it, partially made it, or even made a ballot?
Well, we had several that made ballots. We had several that actually came very close to getting elected.
And who, and do you know the names?
Not off the top of my head.
Do you know which state?
Yeah, so we had a guy very close in Kansas. We have an elected official that is the mayor of Commerce City, Oklahoma. He's been in office now for, I want to say, 3 terms. We had some folks out in California. We had we have, I forget the name of the position, constable something or other out in Pennsylvania. They're part of their local, like, township, or they use different vernacular in Pennsylvania than I'm used to from Wyoming. But we have folks in office right now today. But as of the 2016 election, I think we had about 15 or 20 individuals running from everything from representative districts in their state to actual state Senate seats in, like, Illinois. So, yeah, we had a plethora of folks running, and we are constantly looking for more, preferably folks that don't have political experience, because it's time to get rid of this cadre of lawyers and what I call political prostitutes that have been in there for their entire lives. It's time to start getting real Americans into those offices.
So for the 2020 and the up and the other and the various other elections between now and then,
mm-hmm.
both either veterans or civilians who want to align themselves with the VPA, do they go to the website? Is there a person of contact? They should. You being the national chairperson, do they contact you directly? Do they contact you through, you know, how would John Doe, Jane Doe, say, you know what, I want to represent Tumbleweed, Texas, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
as a VPA nominee? How do they do that?
Very good question. So first and foremost, we have a Facebook page and a state organization created for the Veterans Party of America in all 50 states and in most of the territories of the United States. So if you're living in Tumbleweed, Texas, to use your word, you would contact the Veterans Party of Texas chapter of the Veterans Party of America. You would get to know their state leadership, and you would go through essentially an interview process. And then from that interview process, then as you got closer to the next election cycle, which will be 2018, then you would go through the process of being vetted by the party and potentially becoming the nominee for that district seat or state Senate seat or whatever it happens to be. But very good question. We do everything at the state level. The national party is simply here to be the unifying voice of all 50 states, as our federal government is supposed to be the unifying voice of the state governments across the country. Obviously, we're not seeing that happen very well. We're seeing more of a federalist approach to government, and that's in contradiction to what our Constitution was supposed to be.
So I know, and my wife knows, and a few other individuals know you more privately, behind the closed door. You know, we see you with you and your Birkenstock socks and chilling out and stuff. But I don't think the rest of the people understand. When you physically are moving around the U.S., whether it be within the state of Colorado or wherever, what should people be looking for on the freeway?
Well, if you're looking for me on the freeway, you're going to have a hard time finding me. More often than not, I'm in all black gear, and I'm on my 2008 Night Rod, and I stay tucked low and flat to the ground, and I'm usually slipping between traffic as quickly and as quietly as that thing will rumble. It does have a drag racing pipe on it, so it's not the quietest bike in the world, but most of the time, by the time folks see me, I'm already gone. But yeah, I've traveled about 100,000 miles in the last 2 years on that motorcycle, and for the last 15 to 16 months, I've done almost all of those miles for the Veterans Party of America.
By the way, Veterans Party of Nevada just shared the video.
Fantastic.
So,
hi, Nevada.
Lucky sevens, right? All the way across.
That's right. Right. That's right.
And by the way, this has actually been the most liked video that you've done on this page so far.
Wow.
So I saw a bunch of little thumbs bouncing across from
me. Fantastic.
So that was awesome news.
And just so everybody knows, I'm joined here by Ian, the founder and creator of Veterans 365.
It's Veteran.
Veteran 365, sorry. So, Ian, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about your gaming community.
I got it. Ooh, that phone's hot.
Hi, guys and gals. My name is Ian. My online tag is Longhorn360. On the Xbox One platform, veteran365.org is a veteran-only gaming community. We do have a Facebook page, which you can find. It has a black background with the yellow veteran and 365. That is open to the public. It doesn't matter who you are. Just click like it. We post news articles regarding video games and other various stuff, maybe a few funny memes here and there. We recently, in partnership with Disgruntled Veterans, we began a program called Throat Punch Thursday. You got that right. Right in the kisser. So all those potatoes that you deal with on a daily basis, you just want to just give it to them. Get on the video game system with us on Thursday. Currently, we've been showcasing The Division a lot, but there's all many, many titles, and we are ever-growing, and eventually we're going to start letting our members Twitch stream on the console so that we can kind of bolster who we are. We are free. We don't have any merchandise to sell you, so we're not trying to get your money. We don't want your money at all. I want the money of Microsoft and Sony. That's who I want. I don't want your money, ever. But anyway, enough about me. Veteran 365 was created about 2 years ago. We went through a rebranding about a year ago, and it's been successful. And so please give us a like, a share, whatever. At the end of this video, please add some comments and shares and like this. Deacon, the VPA, they are a very loud voice, but they are drowned out by the money from the two parties that we always see crowding each other. There are many other options. The VPA is one of them. So I'm going to reverse the camera back to who it should be on. And again, Veteran 365, slay your demons through gaming. Throat Punch Thursday at 2100 hours Central Standard Time under the channel of Veteran 365 on twitch.tv/Veteran365. Back to you, Mr. Deacon.
We are rotating. We're back.
So I wanted to make sure that we include guys like Ian, because one of the things that, you know, most of the folks that have been following my page for a while now understand, my primary focus in my personal life is on veterans reintegration. And as veterans, we're not going to ever become a civilian again. It's not possible. We are a veteran. We should be proud of the fact that we're a veteran, and we should wear that with honor. And so, as veterans, I think it's our duty and our purpose and our mission to really find a new focus once we get out of the service. And if you watch, for me, the reason why politics really came into play was because I was watching the number of our politicians that have no idea what's going on in Syria or Iraq or Afghanistan or Libya or Kuwait or all of the other places that we've been, and a lot of which we don't actually talk about, that these politicians have no idea what's even going on over there, and yet they're passing laws and they're supporting things that are bolstering that military-industrial complex and our interventionist model. And so I sat back for a while and I tried to figure out, okay, what am I going to do with myself? How am I going to figure out a way to create my new mission? And for me, it was politics. I saw Hillary Clinton potentially becoming the next president, and I was going to be damned if I was going to watch that happen. And so I actively became political. I guess it was about 2.5-3 years ago. And then I saw the Bush family starting to set up Jeb Bush to become president, and I was going to be damned if I was going to watch another Bush in office. And so somewhere along the way, about 2 years ago, I think now, I found the Veterans Party of America, and for me, it just clicked. I finally felt like I had a collective of people that understood the Constitution as our priority and finding solutions instead of just talking about all of the social nonsense that is not even our government's purview. And so it's really about engaging in a conversation, being able to come up with actual actionable solutions for our country. And along the way, in this veterans reintegration kind of a model, I've been fortunate enough to run across disgruntled vets, dysfunctional veterans, which is one of my favorite organizations. I get a lot of laughs on their page and a lot of great humor. It's really dark and twisted, like most of us veterans tend to be. But in that adventure, I stumbled into the DV farm and got a chance to stay there and help them basically get the vet house ready to receive a bunch of homeless vets. So tonight I want to close out with a just real quick thank you to everybody for tuning in. And thank you for Ian for being here, because it's always easier to have a conversation than it is to just talk to a camera and try to figure out, you know, how to run four different things at the same time. But this Saturday in Denver, it's actually technically in Littleton, but the Platte River Bar and Grill is hosting Disgruntled Vets and our event that is called the Long March Home. And I encourage anybody that's in Denver, please, or anywhere close to Denver, come in for this event. It is going to be a fantastic way to give back to our community and help battle homelessness, as well as talk about the overarching issue that we see day in and day out with the 22 or one a day numbers that we're constantly seeing being repeated. We will talk about suicide awareness. We will talk about the homelessness and how all of that kind of comes together in the same process, and all of the things that we as veterans deal with. So join us December 3rd at the Platte River Bar and Grill. We're going to start at about 5 o'clock. We'll actually have a live band there. We've got a ton of sponsors, thanks to Chappie and his cute little man bun and all the folks that he's been able to convince to donate some really cool gear and really cool items to be auctioned off, and or not auctioned, silent auctioned off and raffled off. So if you find yourself in Denver, come join us. If you don't, you go online to GoFundMe and then do a search under GoFundMe for the Long March Home. We are taking donations for the farm at that GoFundMe site. And for every, I think Chappie told me, every $10 you donate on GoFundMe, you're automatically getting like 5 tickets towards a really cool item that they're going to be raffling off. So you don't have to be there to win a raffle, which is, you know, pretty unique. But come out and join us. It'll be a good time.
Off the top of your head, what are you aware of as one of the higher dollar items or the higher value items is being auctioned off? Or are you aware of any items of that nature?
Yeah, I don't know the value of most of the items. The one I do know is one of the local Harley-Davidson dealerships was willing to put up a whole bag of swag. And so there's like 2 t-shirts, a coffee mug, and like a whole bunch of other stuff. I would bet it's probably $150 to $200 worth of Harley-Davidson stuff. Obviously we can't do a bike, but, you know, Harley Davidson gear is always pretty cool. And then Chappie has one that's like, I forget the name of the company, but it's like a backpack and a knife and, you know, some other cool, like survival gear kind of stuff. That's probably pretty expensive as well.
And the parking is huge.
Oh yeah. Huge parking lot, huge back deck, plenty of room, kid friendly. But there is alcohol, so, you know, if you want to drink, just make sure you got a way to get home. But we're going to have a really good time, and we'll go until probably 10, 11 o'clock.
Deb says hi.
Hi, Deb. And it's going to be really good time. And in honor of the season, you know, tomorrow is Giving Tuesday, International Giving Day. And so in honor of that, you know, come out and help us take care of each other, you know, veterans helping veterans. So anyway, thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. Ian, last thoughts?
So on Saturday in the evening hours, we want to see Bring the Thunder. That's all I want to say. Bring the Thunder. If you are part of a 3, 5, 6, 7 person motor club that's in your neighborhood, bring the Thunder.
Love it.
Let's hear those pipes.
Absolutely. And I will be riding, even though it's going to be, I think, a high of 45 that day. I ride all the way down to sub-zero temperatures as long as the roads are clear. And I can assure you, the weather's calling for clear roads. So.
And Ellen says, fuzzy face.
Fuzzy face. I love it. So thanks again, everybody. Have a great night. And think about some questions for next week.
And thank you all for tuning in. This is Veterans Party of America, signing off.
DV Radio.